Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm live in studio after a wonderful, relaxing weekend away. It has been a great week. Well, last week was a very exciting week for me, and all I can say is thank you to Penguin and Random House for publishing my third book in the series of The Kosher Butcher's Wife. It's a very special feeling knowing that a secular publishing house, so to speak, has the confidence to take a chance with our kosher market. Thank you to all of those who came as well. It was wonderful to see faces that I'd never seen before. Thank you for joining me and supporting me. And I hope you had a good time at the launch. And remember, the book is available at Nussbaum's Kosher Butchery or Exclusive Books. And I'll keep you updated on any projects, demonstrations and things that are happening with regard to the book. But after the launch, I was taken away by my daughter and son-in-law, and we went to Dullstrom. Now, I have experimented with many, many different cuts of meat in my life. But the one thing that I'm not too au fait with is fish. And I believe that I have a good reason not to be. I mean, I'm the butcher's wife. I'm not the fishmonger's wife. So off we go to Dullstrom. And for those that are listening from overseas, Dullstrom is a beautiful, a quaint, small town. It takes about 2.5 hours to get there from Johannesburg and is anything but dull. I mean, this town has a shopping strip that beats Las Vegas. No, it doesn't beat Las Vegas, but it's about a kilometer down this beautiful road, and you've got shops on each side selling the most incredible homemade and handmade products. And in fact, I was very upset, and something that maybe others should do, and that is look on the internet, do your homework, look on the internet and read up about all the these incredible shops that they have and all the wonderful things that they make there. So you go upstairs, downstairs, sideways. Oh, sorry, I must talk into the mic. Yes, at my launch, my husband and family were running around with the mic in front of me because I get so excited when I talk about food that I sort of sway around the mic. Anyway, and there was all sorts of wonderful things, and I just loved walking down the streets past the outsides of the restaurants and sort of gazing nonchalantly. My husband said glaring, but anyway, I thought I was gazing nonchalantly at what people eat. And my word, some of the food that is presented and served at these places, at these restaurants, are incredible. I saw stuff coming out on slabs of slate, on wooden boards, on wonkyware platters, also all brought to your table, and an array of some of the most creative foods and an explosion of color like I've never seen. So, after the break, I'm going to come back and tell you about my fly fishing experience and, of course, some wonderful meat recipes after the break.
You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I was just telling you a bit about my weekend where we went to Dullstrom. I told you a little bit about the area, and I have to tell you that now I'm getting ready for my fly fishing experience. So what would you have in mind when you think about fly fishing? I mean, I think about, I think it was that movie, A River Runs Through It, but I could be wrong. But it's the scene where you see the men wearing those full-length plastic apron-like suits and the full-length waterproof boots that sort of come up to under their arms, and you see them going backwards and forwards with their beautiful rods, and their lines fly out forever. And you see, I mean, it's just these rushing water and trout sort of flying out into the air. Well, but that's what I expected. And but let me tell you what the experience I had. Now, first of all, you have to remember, I used to go on my late father's boat in the good old days, leave 5 o'clock in the morning when I lived in Durban, and we would go out on the bay, thread our lines with fresh bait, still jumping in wet newspaper, and we confidently threaded our lines, only to wait patiently, cast our lines, waited patiently. I'd lie back, catch a suntan. My father would shout at me, "Sharon, you've got a bite. Get up and start reeling in." And, you know, there was a very, very special kind of strategic way of doing this, which I knew how to do, and reel out and let the fish fight a bit and then reel in again. And anyway, so finally, of course, when we caught the fish, if it wasn't kosher, it had to be thrown back into the sea. But yeah, there it was, went into a cooler bag, whatever we caught, and fantastic. We had beautiful fish, got home, we brought fish, whatever. Now, let me tell you that this was a serene setting, an air of calm, a quiet, misty, late afternoon, where fish were pirouetting effortlessly, I would say, around the pond, leaving rings that they enjoyed teasing us, because they knew they were part of the catch and release crew. Now, who's heard of catch and release? I've never heard of catch and release. All I've ever heard of is catch your fish, okay, and bring it in, bring it on board, allow it to have a little bit of air, then throw it into butter, into a little bit of wine, and enjoy it. No, not these trout. Living, I believe that they were almost living like a cat. A cat with nine lives. They sort of catch onto this little yellow pom-pom thing. I think you put this yellow pom-pom thing onto the end of the line, and you go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards before throwing out your line, which normally landed just in front of me. But I must say it was a wonderful experience, because in the end, although we caught no fish, we had a wonderful moment with no gain. You know, which to me was almost like, how can I say, winning a race and saying to the organizers, you know what, you keep the medal, you keep the cup. You know, that's what it was like for me, to catch these fish and not to eat them, especially when they're kosher. Anyway, it was very relaxing, and I did fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, as the saying goes, and decided that I was actually going to get involved with this. Now, so back to our ethically correct and moral fly fishing experience. We sat quietly watching the lines going in and out, when suddenly our friend, dressed in his Dahlstrom winter fly fishing attire, suddenly shouted through knitted scarf and beanie that, "I've got a bite." Well, I thought it must be a hell of a big bite. I mean, the rod did go over, and it sounded like it could have been a dolphin, but with his able assistant Stock scrambling across the bank with a net, we finally managed to get the sardine-sized trout into the net. Because apparently when you do trout fishing, you have to leave the trout submerged in the water, and then you have to let it go. That same old story, catch and release. which I don't know if I'd go along with. But anyway, this is what they do in Dullstroom. Now, apparently, I've got an SMS that somebody said, no, there are other ponds in Dullstroom where you don't have to catch and release. You can actually take them home. So I thought, okay, good fun. I'm going to make, because we couldn't keep our trout, I'll come home and I'll buy some trout and I'll experiment with it. But as I say, it is a fascinating conservation experience. I watched this trout being caught, not allowed to come out of the water, pushed back. And I must say, at one point, it looked a little bit like it was a floater. Apparently, that's what it's called. They can become a floater, but not on our friend Johnny's watch. This was not allowed to happen. And so into the freezing water, he ran knee deep to free Willie. So, I'm now going to share some recipes with you for the trout that I couldn't keep, but would have loved to. And that will be coming up after the break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and we are talking fly fishing, and we're talking about the craziness, but the conservation-minded people who do this, and that is fly fishing, where you just catch and release. A phenomenal mindset that is somewhat difficult for me to absorb, because remember in the old days, I used to go fishing. I used to go out in a boat. I used to come back. You know, we felt shemzach if we arrived back at the pier, with our boat, and we climbed out, and there was nothing in our cooler box. I mean, there had to be at least 5 or 6 fish, even more. Here, this is all, you know, politically correct to walk away, I think, just with your rods. So, I don't know, maybe they haven't heard that saying, Tabu, give me a fish and eat for a day. Teach me to fish and I eat for a lifetime. Because this fly fishing is a complete opposite. I don't know, you catch, this catch and release system teaches us to fish for a lifetime, but never eat in the day. Anyway, there are plenty of fish in the sea, so we're not going to argue about that. I'm going to give you a recipe on how to make the best baked whole trout. Now, I did pick a few chefs' brains while I was there and asked them the best way to cook trout. So one of the trout is not one of my favorites. It was one of my mother's favorites, but this chef absolutely loves his trout, any make, any sort, any kind of trout, the bigger the better. And he was saying to me that it cooks very quickly. It's actually very easy to season, and the fish tastes sweet and tender. So you can buy trout as a whole fish, that has been gutted and cleaned, like, you know, just sort of the belly sliced and everything taken out, but the head is still on. Or you can use whole trout, which is butterflied, and the head has been removed. I have to do that with my family. They don't like heads. Anyway, baking whole trout in the oven is quite easy, especially when you do it in foil packets. Okay, so what you do, the easiest trout recipe, you can make it in about 20 minutes. You take the trout with the skin and the tail, and sometimes the head if you want it. You place that onto your board. Okay, it's nice and clean and butterflied and ready to be spiced. And all you have to do is just put a few fresh ingredients into it, into the middle. This is, he said, you just stuff the trout in the middle with a couple of thin lemon slices, lots of fresh herbs, and you can even add a little bit of garlic, you can add some onion, and you can add, I think it was green spinach and rice, he said. But since we're putting this into a tinfoil packet, we don't have to marinate it that much, and we don't have to put too much seasoning in it. Because, so to make the packets, I used heavy duty foil, and you just put it in the middle. It must be quite thick, the foil, otherwise use two slices of foil, and you fold it over and you crumple it on top, fold in the sides and crumple them, so it makes a packet. You don't squeeze it. I mean, don't put the tinfoil tight over it. Try and balloon it a little bit. And then he said the baking time depends on how large your fish is, obviously. If you're using a medium trout, which is probably what we get here, you can probably cook this in a high oven, or you can braai it for about 10 to 15 minutes. And then you take it off. Remember that it's going to give off a lot of juice, so it's actually going to steam. But the taste is apparently superb. So that is our oven or braai-baked trout. And I thought I'd share another recipe with you for trout, smoked trout salad. What you must do, before I forget, when you open those packets, the tinfoil packets of trout, please be very careful, because when you open it, don't let the steam come out and burn you, as did my daughter. So just be very careful. Now, this smoked trout salad is simple, tasty, and a lovely lunch meal, or a starter. On Friday night, have it as a starter. And you have to make up the salad dressing first. So what we do is we take a quarter of a cup of fresh lemon juice, a quarter of a cup of olive oil. Remember, it must be fresh lemon juice. Don't use a bottled one. Half a teaspoon to start with, but you can add a little bit more. I don't know how hot you like things, but probably half a teaspoon of chili flakes. 2 cloves of garlic crushed. 1 teaspoon of sugar or equivalent sweetener, and 1/4 cup of finely chopped fresh Italian parsley. Then you just combine that, mix it all together in a bowl, or you can blend it in a food processor or with a hand blender. And then what you do is you buy about, I think it's 250 gram packet of rockets and greens. You get them from Woolworths, Pick and Pay. You wash it, dry it well, and then you take 150 grams packet of smoked trout. Now you get the smoked trout ribbons, which are sliced, and you can either roll them into little roses around your baby finger and sort of plant them delicately around your salad, or you can cut them into ribbons and place them on top, and then put a little bit of extra parsley, set aside a little bit of extra parsley so that you pour the salad dressing over it. And then just sprinkle some more parsley over it. Now that is such a simple recipe to make. Now to this, a few weeks ago, I added boiled egg quarters. You can add asparagus to it. There's so much that you can add and create with a salad like this. Whatever you feel like. And if you feel that you've run out of salad dressing and you need a bit more, make a bit more. It's quite easy. And in fact, this you can make, double up and just keep in the fridge. As simple as that. So that is our smoked trout salad. Now, it was actually a rather fun weekend because obviously we do self-catering, of course. And we had everything ready, and our beautiful lamb shanks were prepared by Nussbaum's. Thank you. They were delicious. And my daughter's friend, Karen Green, came along, and she made up the most wonderful green bean recipe. It was absolutely delicious. It was such a treat, and I think I just have to share this recipe with you because it was just so simple. Beautiful roasted lamb shanks and these, she calls them firecracker beans. So let me share the firecracker beans with love from Karen Green. So she took 500 grams of the thin green beans, which have been top and tailed. You can top and tail them yourself, but you want the really thin ones, the long ones. And you will also need 1/4 cup of black sesame seeds, 1/4 cup of white sesame seeds, 1 teaspoon of freshly crushed garlic. Now, Karen was very good. She's better than me. She sat and she sliced the garlic up. Not me. I just take out a teaspoon of crushed garlic. And she also said that you can add a teaspoon of freshly and finely grated ginger to the dish if you want. You'll also need 3 tablespoons of olive oil and 1 teaspoon of chili flakes. So she placed the green beans into a plastic bag with about a tablespoon of water, or you can place them, once they're cleaned, you can place them into a damp paper towel. And you put them into the microwave for about 3 minutes, just until 2 to 3 minutes, until they're just slightly soft and easier to work with, without making them too limp. And then you heat up the oil, quite hot, and you fry them for a minute or two, throwing in the sesame seeds, throwing in the garlic, the ginger, and finally the chili flakes. And you would not believe how colorful and how beautiful this looks. It just was so enticing. I would imagine also that you could serve this next to a piece of fish, of grilled trout. I mean, that sounds beautiful. So, the lamb shanks, I can't give you the recipe for those. I've given recipes for lamb shanks out many times, and they're all on the site. But it's lamb shanks are made with lovely fresh herbs, and they're ready-made for you, and they're terrific. Just order them, and they're terrific just to stick in the oven, double-wrap them, and away you go. So we had wonderful lamb shanks and terrific firecracker beans, and I think we have baby potatoes with it. I can't exactly remember. And, oh, and roasted vegetables, which I've given you the recipe for before. Okay, so, as I say, there I was looking at everybody's plates as I walked past, and I saw pasta Alfredo with smoked trout. It was definitely smoked trout, because, of course, we were in Dahlstrom. And I just had to get cracking and had to start creating a lovely pasta dish with smoked trout, which is so quick and so easy to do that I had shared with you. It's 500 grams of tagliatelle pasta. Okay, so it looks like Lokshin pasta, basically. You need 1 large onion, finely grated. Now, I'm going to tell you about the onion. Well, let me tell you about the onion now. Why you want it finely grated is because you almost want the onion to disappear into the olive oil that you're going to be frying it in. So the longer you fry it on the lower heat, the more it's going to melt, the more the onion will melt in. Okay, and then you need 400 grams of mushrooms, raw mushrooms, 1 teaspoon of garlic sauce, or garlic, fresh garlic is what I used, 2 cups of white wine. Use a good wine. Don't use one that's too sweet, and don't use one that's too vinegary. A nice white wine. 2 cups of fresh cream, 1/2 cup of grated parmesan, and 1 teaspoon of dried thyme. And then you'll get hot peppered trout or the salmon, the hot smoked trout, which you can get from Woolworths or Pick and Pay. And you'll probably need about 180 grams of that. So all you do is you cook the pasta in plenty of lightly salted water, no oil. You know me, I have a thing about the oil in the pasta water, until it's tender, and then you drain it and you set it aside. You heat the oil in a saucepan, and you fry the onions until transparent and really soft. Don't let them go brown. You still want them on over low heat so that they cook. They go soft, but they don't turn brown. Then you add the mushrooms. And remember, whenever you add mushrooms to a frying pan, it gives off a lot of water. And you stir until most of the water has evaporated from the mixture. Then you add the garlic and you stir it. And then you add the wine and you cook it for a few minutes to heat it through so that the alcohol boils out, and that, you know, so just enough for it to reduce. You add the cream and you bring it to the boil, reduce the heat, and you leave it to cook gently uncovered for about 5 to 10 minutes until the sauce has really thickened and reduced slightly. At that point, you add the thyme, black pepper, and fish. And you just flake the fish gently, because remember, it's been cooked already, And you're just adding it to the sauce, so you don't want it to get too mushy. Mix it gently. Throw the sauce over the drained and cooked pasta. Heat it up and serve it with lovely peas or lovely fresh salad. So, that's enough about fish, I would think. After the break, I'm coming back with some lovely meaty stories.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and as promised, I am going to give you a wonderful, wonderful top rib beef recipe. So this cut of meat can be compared to a brisket in terms of its cooking method and texture. It loves low and slow cooking. And the only difference is that top rib is smaller, but it is more tender and it is more sweet and it's delicious. And if you've got, you can just order one big top rib and it comes with the bones underneath. You can order two if you're having a big crowd for Shabbos, but if it's just for six of you, one large meaty top rib should be enough. So what we do with this is let me give you the ingredients first. Okay. Now I have to tell you that this also comes from sightseeing in Dalstrom because I walked past a person who was eating what looked absolutely magnificent. There was this huge piece of the bone sticking out with this meat wrapped around it and a couple of slices on the side, served on a beautiful slate plate with mushrooms and green beans, which I'm sure weren't as nice as the firecracker beans we had. But I actually stopped and said, do you mind if I just look at that? Okay. Observed it, looked, and I reckon this is the closest we're going to get to this. You will need 2 cups of top rib, 2 kilos of top rib, sorry, 1/2 cup of flour, 2 tablespoons Bisto gravy powder, 3 teaspoons of fresh garlic, 2 large fresh onions sliced. I like to slice them in half and then slice them again, so they're sort of semicircular. 2 cups of celery, 1 cup finely grated carrots. Why I like to do finely grated carrots is because, yes, you can mush them through the sieve or through muslin cloth later, but I just find that while it's cooking, they actually disintegrate into the meat. And I also have family that when the minute they see a carrot, they're not going to eat it. So this way, it dissolves in without them seeing it. You also need 2 to 3 teaspoons. Oh, I said the crushed garlic. 1 tablespoon of Worcester sauce. Worcestershire, as they call it on TV. Anyway, we call it Worcester sauce. 1 tablespoon of paprika. This is important for the color. 2 cubes of beef stock dissolved in 1.5 cups of boiling water. A sachet of tomato paste. I think it's 30 mils. The larger sachets, 2 cups of red wine and a sprinkling of dried thyme and a handful of fresh basil that you're going to put on at the end with salt and pepper. Okay. So what you want to do for this deliciously comforting hot pot of beautiful beef is you're going to preheat the oven to about 160. Okay, because remember we want it low and slow. Then we are going to put the top rib on a flat surface and just generously coat it on each side with the flour. Remember, it was 1/2 cup of flour and 2 tablespoons of Bisto mixed together and rub it all over this piece of top rib. Okay, so when it's all nicely browned, then you place the meat into a large frying pan or a large pot and you fry it until the outside is lovely and brown and caramelized, but not burnt, because remember, we're still going to use the same pot or pan that you were using to cook the other vegetables in. So when it's gorgeous and brown, place the meat into a baking sheet. A baking dish. Okay, you want it to be quite deep, because remember that there's liquid and vegetables going in with it. But you don't want it to be too big. I always say about a foot size too big on each side. So what's that? About 5 centimeters each side. Because remember, the meat shrivels up. Anyway, and then we're going to... So we've put that already into our baking dish. And the meanwhile, just leave it on the side. Fry the onions, celery, and the finely grated carrot in a little oil in the same pan that you fried the meat. When it's a little soft, about 5-10 minutes, don't let it burn. Add the garlic, mix it around, and especially now, don't let it burn. Add the thyme, Worcester sauce, only 1 tablespoon of Worcester sauce, paprika, the beef stock, which is your 2 cubes of beef stock, dissolved in 1.5 cups of boiling water. Now, if you make your own beef stock, fantastic, even better. Take all those lovely knee bones and you boil it up with some carrots and some celery and onions, and you'll always have beef stock on hand. But if you don't have fresh, then just use the cubes. Then add the wine and you bring it all to the boil. Reduce it and you simmer it for about 20 minutes. Over lowish heat, low to medium heat, you want it to simmer so that it thickens up a little bit and reduces. And you also want to cook that alcohol out. Now, you can put it in the oven at this point. Cover the meat that is in the baking dish with the sauce, or you can put it and let it cook on 160 for about 2 hours and then reduce it to 150 for about another 3. Or you can put it in a slow cooker, or what you may call a crock pot, and allow it to cook out on high for about 4 hours. Now remember that when you use a crock pot, it creates a lot of water and a lot of moisture, especially from the meat and the moisture that we're putting on and the lids on, so the sauce doesn't really have anywhere to go. But if you take the lid off and let it boil for about an hour or so, it will help to reduce or thicken up the gravy. So what I do sometimes is I cheat. I remove the liquid from the oven or from the crock pot or wherever, and I put it onto the stove and I just let it boil and reduce and thicken up. Take the meat out, slice it up, pour that sauce back over it, and finally put it, chop up some of the, torn basil. You can tear basil. You can cut, shred it if you want to, and throw it over the meat and cover it with tin foil and just stick it back in the oven or back in the crock pot for about another 30 minutes. So the slicing of the meat actually allows it, the meat, to really absorb all those wonderful tastes. Now, I serve this with a polenta and pumpkin cake. Okay, now, it may sound weird, polenta and pumpkin, but boy, is it delicious. All you will need is 500 grams of the chunked butternut. Okay, the one that's already peeled, you can get it at most supermarkets. You'll also need 1 cup of polenta, 1/4 cup of brown treacle sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, 4 eggs, 2 tablespoons of chicken stock dissolved in 1.5 cups of boiling water, which is then left aside to cool, and 1 cup of coconut milk or soya milk, not the cream. Use the milk or the low-fat coconut milk, and 1 cup of sunflower oil. And to decorate it, I used mixed sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, and I put that on top. But let's go through the whole method. So what we're going to do is we're going to steam the pumpkin until it's really soft. You just put a little bit of water into the pumpkin. Keep watching it, but you want to steam it until it gets lovely and very soft. In fact, one of the recipes that I was reading, this lady actually suggested boiling the pumpkin and then setting it in a strainer over a bowl in the fridge overnight. To me, it's not necessary, but anyway, you steam the pumpkin till it's soft and you set it aside until it's cool. Then you preheat the oven to 180 and you line a baking dish or tin, tinfoil container. I would say about what, a square one about, or rectangular one about 25 by 25. And you mix the polenta, that's your 1 cup of polenta, with baking powder and salt together in a bowl. And in a separate large bowl, combine the eggs, the milk, the oil, and you really mix it well. You mash the steamed pumpkin, okay, with a fork, that's good enough, and then you add it to the wet ingredients, whisk it all together, and when it's beautifully combined, season with a little bit of salt and pepper, and stick it into the oven and bake it for about 45 minutes. You can bake it. Some ovens may be a bit high for some ovens, so you could do it on 170 or 180, and you bake it for 45 minutes or until a toothpick inserted comes out clean. And serve this with your top rib roast, and you will have a fabulous meal. So there you have it, all ready for Shabbos. And after the break, I'll come back with one more meaty recipe.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, and thanks for tuning in to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie. If you want to call us, contact us, SMS us on 34519. I'd love to hear ideas and recipes from you. But one particular recipe that I tried during the week was Moroccan lamb. And I served it with I bry my lamb. I love brying lamb. And I bried my pita as well. And I served that with this Moroccan lamb, which I actually shredded up. So let me give you the ingredients for the marinade. You will need 125 mint mils of, imagine counting 125 mint leaves. You'll need about half a cup of mint leaves, finely chopped. You'll also need half a cup of coriander leaves, finely chopped. Now, if you don't like coriander, as a lot of people don't, then all you have to do is use flat-leaved parsley, or Italian parsley, and half a cup of fresh oregano, or you can use the dried oregano, and you would only need a tablespoon. You'll also need just under, I would say, 3/4 of a cup of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of cumin, 1 tablespoon of crushed garlic, 1 tablespoon of sweet paprika, and 1 teaspoon of dried chili flakes, or you can use your fresh chilies. If you've got some lovely chilies growing in your garden, use those. About 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon and 1/2 cup of olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper to taste. Now this lamb, you can marinate for 2 days in this particular marinade. It is delicious. It's easy. I did a whole shoulder of lamb in it. You can do lamb shanks. And then all you do is you just combine all the ingredients in the bowl and you just pour it over the lamb. And you can leave it to marinate for up to 2 days. What I also did was, that I forgot to add in here, was I sliced some onions and I put those over as well. And you can also add rosemary. Some people don't like rosemary, but rosemary and lamb just go hand in hand. So I just bried that. When I felt that it was starting to get a little bit too dark and it may be too pink in the middle, I put it into the oven and cooked it low and slow for about 1.5 hours. And it was absolutely delicious. Now, this weekend I actually met somebody who said to me, he said, whatever you do, whenever you're making lamb chops, don't marinate them in lemon juice. They're too thin. They'll cook. Especially if you're doing the thin ones. It's okay if you want to do a shoulder of lamb or shanks or whatever. But Lamb chops, you should always use lovely Greek spices, braai, and then squeeze fresh lemon juice over the lamb so that it doesn't get dried while it's cooking. But for this recipe, however, you can put the lemon in. It just helps me to take away what some people call that lamb smell. So I hope that I've given you a few tips and ideas from my weekend in Dalstrom, my fascinating fly fishing weekend in Dalstrom. And remember, it's the Eat and Meet that makes this show complete.